This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. And if it was a better place, we'd be saying Happy New Year, but it's not. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. You just got your first taste of the Attitude. I'm Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be the other one.
It is the final day of this year.
Yes, it is. It's officially New Year's Eve.
Now, I can't understand how in the world, you know, we were flooding last week and now we're under a burden ban.
I know it.
Something screwy, especially since I live out where fireworks are loud.
Ooh, ouch. But anyway, speaking of New Year's Eve, there's quite a few things happening around town. The one I'll be at... Oh, I hate... finish your question with it. The one that I will attend...
Is honey, no one out there who's under the age of 30 knows what the hell a preposition is, so don't worry about it.
Okay. The Rockin' Red Ribbon New Year's Eve Gala. For us, it's gala. For the straight folks, it's gala.
Yes.
Okay.
We pretend there's a Y in the middle of it.
Yes, and that's happening later tonight at the Crown Plaza Hotel, downtown Houston. It's a little late if you want to eat dinner, but hey, for $35, show up at 9:30, and you get 3 hours open bar. Hello, champagne toast at midnight. Now, if you go to any other of the clubs, you're going to spend a hell of a lot more than that. If you know you like to imbibe.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a standard mixed drink, except for the ones that have dollar nights on Saturdays. He's going to run you at least $3.50 a glass.
Right, at least. And $4 and $5 if for anybody having a New Year's Eve deal. So, Crown Plaza Hotel tomorrow night. Tonight.
Saturday.
There you go. 9:30, show up, pay you $35, and you get 3 hours of open bar. Which, very, very, very nice. And if you don't want to do that, then most of the bars around town are doing New Year's Eve parties. Mary's, naturally, is doing one. And has been for 36 years. Mary's, naturally. And the sister bar to Mary's, which is Michael's Outpost, located at 1419 Richmond. Yeah, I never get the address for Mary's because I just assume everybody knows it.
I think, yeah, it's
1022.
Hell, even my father can find Mary's.
1022 Westheimer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Easy. It's the Queens next to Burger King.
There you go. And the BRB, of course, is doing one, too. I mentioned these three bars because these bars put on fundraisers every weekend. And so they get a little bit more from me, you know, because they're out there helping the community. So BRB, also at 2400 Brazos. And Happy New Year's. And let's see, something else. I know it seems really early for this, but the nominations are open for the 2006 Pride Parade Grand Marshals. So if you'd like to nominate somebody, you need to download and complete the nomination form from the Houston Pride website.
PrideHouston.org.
Thank you. And the Grand Marshal positions are male, female, honorary, and honorary organization. And these are some of the highest honors bestowed upon the Houston GLBT community each year. And they are voted on by the community. And let's see, they've got to be in pretty damn soon. Oh, by January 14th.
Yes.
Two Saturdays from now. So get out there. That's Pride.
PrideHouston.org.
Okay.
And remember, you know, KPFT, we're eligible for organizational.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's KPFT, or if you're a TXT reader, it's KPRT.
Hey.
I will beat that dead horse until I see a correction.
I know it. Yeah, that's right. KPFT has been nominated in the past. We didn't win it, but we have been nominated.
It's an honor just to be nominated. Bull.
No, it really is. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, to consider all the organizations out there that are that do so great for this city.
Now, male and female, an honorary normally goes to a straight person or couple who
are allies.
Our allies, who folks who have done a lot for the community. And, of course, honorary organization is any organization. Gay, straight, whatever. Of course, male and female. There you go. And that includes transgenders.
Yeah, I think for the male and the female, that goes by the gender that's projected.
Yes, exactly.
So drag queens would, if someone is a drag performer and you want to nominate, it's women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're some people who like to be both sides and, you know.
There you go.
Then you run for empress.
Okay. Ouch.
Man, is there something bitter in this medicine I'm taking?
You know, in January, there's also another vote by the community, and it's for the new emperor and empress of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Eresus.
Yes. I thought I had Lillian Devereaux scheduled for tonight. We had talked about it, and I didn't get back to her in time to remind her, because we talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yes.
So, but we still have time. We've got next week, and we've got the week after. The week after, I believe, either next week or the week after, we've got...
hey, let's look it up on the website.
Dee DeMarco coming on. So, you know, I want to get both of the empresses... empresses to be
candidate,
there you go, on the air, because it's a worthwhile organization. It's done by community, because the emperor and empress are co-presidents of the organization, and this is a big fundraising organization. Those folks are out there every weekend, just like ICOH, doing the same type of thing, putting on shows, raffles, you name it, anything to raise money for the community. So,
I was trying to find one more information on their elections, but there's...
That should be mid-January.
That isn't going to next year yet.
I think it's, it may be January the 14th. It's either that or the weekend after it. Because I talked briefly with Dee Dee DeMarco about that in the scheduling. So, we will get them on the air, because I want the community to know these folks and know who they're voting for. And you will vote. Now, a couple more things, but I wanted to mention the music that we played.
Oh, yeah. Start off with Sophie B. Hawkins.
Yes, from her latest CD, which is just great. Just absolutely great.
With Sweet Sexy Woman.
My favorite bisexual woman.
And we followed it up with Shiting Glitter.
Mm-hmm.
And with that one, we played The Curse.
I like that one. It kind of reminds... It's very 80s sounding.
But if you try and find the name Shiting Glitter, you won't be able to find it. FCC doesn't let me tell you what the actual name
That's
is.
Right. The first word in that title, in the title of the group, is SH blank TTING. You fill in your favorite vowel. Glitter. So,
I was just laughing because someone had changed the wallpaper on the computer screen in here.
Oh, I've seen that before.
Put the slogan on there.
Oh, my God. No. No.
Somebody was overlooking at the Triple X Church.
Let's see. Well.
That's their little slogan.
For tonight, our first segment that's going to start in about 10 minutes or so, we've got J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. See, this is the fifth Friday of the month.
Yes.
Normally, J.D. would be here in person. But because of scheduling, the fourth Monday's Queer Voices was preempted.
Yeah, because unfortunately the first, that happened to be the day after Christmas, which is the first day of the celebration of Kwanzaa.
Exactly. So there was lots of Kwanzaa programming going on. So, we are going to play that tonight. JD's not here tonight. Normally he would be here on the fifth Friday, and he'd be playing all kinds of music that we don't get to play because we don't have it.
Yes.
But this is a great opportunity for us to play his second Christmas show. Yes, he played one on the 19th, and the other one was supposed to be on the 26th. But this one, it's just loaded with good folks, and folks that I don't have the music for, like Elvez, E-L-V-E-Z.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some of those.
Kinsey Six. Now, we do have that, but I don't think we have I Had a Little Facial. And Tis the Season to Drink Stoli. We've got Dave Hall. We've got Cam Clark. We've got Betty, who we haven't played here in a very, very long time. Springfield's Mike Rickert. Indigo Girls. Lisa Koch, Sean Thomas, Leah Zakari does a Christmas number Thursday in December. Ann Reed, who's been putting out music for years and years and years and years. And we end up with Jimmy James. You know who that is? Female impersonator from Austin or San Antonio, I can't remember which one. But he got his name doing Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, okay.
Then he got a little chunky, and so it was. But
I think I remember seeing that person. Now.
But he had it down, and he sang in his own voice.
Mm.
Of course, now he's in New York, and he's doing other impersonations of famous people, and sings in his own voice. But for this one, he's Jimmy James, and he ends up with Feliz Navidad.
All right, so we take you to Queer Music Heritage.
Well, wait a minute. I told people we were going to do that at 1:30.
That's right.
So, a couple other things going on.
You were just giving too much of a intro to it.
Yes. The Montrose Counseling Center is having a special thing going on. It's Come Find Out Why We Are the Community's Best Kept Secret. Please join us for a free one-hour presentation and tour of the Montrose Counseling Center, 701 Richmond Avenue, Thursday, January 12th, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Well, folks, I won't be there. I am not a morning person. But an RSVP is necessary as space is limited. So that number is 713-529-0037. And because they do so many things, and they have added programs that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't, I guess they don't have time to get the word out, or a way to get the word out. Something else going on tonight, Smiley and Robbie and I went out to Theater Suburbia because they've got a new play opening up next Friday night. And we interviewed them, and, you know, what we usually have done here live.
Yes.
You know, we taped it. Yeah, the name of the new play is called Ms. Lena's Backyard, written by Jan Villarubia. And it's directed by Elvin Moriarty and assistant director Suzanne King. Both of those folks have been here many, many times in different capacities. It's kind of a... bittersweet, sad, happy.
Life.
Yeah, it's life. I think you're... Oh, Gene Griesbeck is in it. He's in so many... He's been here almost like every time.
I don't remember names and faces.
You would remember Gene.
I usually look after their techies.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be playing that interview next week.
Okay.
Right on the show in the beginning, during the After Hours Quickies. And if you want to go to opening night or next Saturday or anytime, it's you can call the Theater Suburbia box office for reservations at 713-682-3525. And the Theater Suburbia is located at 1410 West 43rd at Oak Forest. It's not that far out.
No, I found it one time when I was lost.
Or you can go to the website, dubcubed.theatresuburbia.com, T-H-E-R-T-R-E.
Now stick your nose in the air when you type it in.
There you go. There you go. And it is playing starting January 6th through February the 4th. So the whole month of January, plus the first week in February, every Friday and Saturday at 8:30. And there's two matinees in January on Sunday at the 22nd and the 29th. And those matinees are at 3 p.m.
They still doing the BOGO for us?
The BOGO?
The special for After Hours listeners?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes. We didn't get it on the interview, but Doris Merton, who is the theater manager, reminded me that that's still in effect. That any After Hours listener who calls the box office at 713-682-3525, it's a buy one, get one free.
BOGO.
BOGO. Buy one, get one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
stealing from the commercial world. I know. It's
Theater Suburbia is a 501c3 organization, so I can say that the tickets are $10. That's dirt cheap to see a live play. And if you're an After Hours listener and tell them so, you get to have two people get to see it for $10. So that is very, very cool. Okay. I guess that's all I have. I didn't get really to the publications this week, but I happen to have been at the Montrose Clinic earlier this week,
mm-hmm.
which is now Legacy, because two groups, the Montrose Clinic and the Assistance Fund, have merged, and the new name is Legacy Community Health Services. So I was there Thursday, and I got to see the folks wearing the Montrose Clinic t-shirts for the last time.
Oh.
Yeah, I was there to get a flu shot. All you have to do is walk in, and $25, and there you go. It's cool.
Well, it's a great thing. It's right down Westheimer before it becomes Elgin.
That's right. It's right there at the beginning of Westheimer, something like the 200 block.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right, yes. Right there on the left as you're leaving Elgin and becoming Westheimer. So there's going to be some changes going on over there, but it's going to be for the good. I've talked to a couple of the folks who work there, and they're very excited about the new merger. So, okay, it's 1:28, 1:29 in the a.m. I think we can hit it for J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. This is show number 2 of Queer Christmas Music.
Welcome to part 2 of the Queer Music Heritage Queer Christmas Special.
'Tis the season to drink stoli. La 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 la. Make yourself a mess unholy. La 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 la. Don your flowered gay apparel. La 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 la. Kiss your boss and call him Cheryl. La 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 la. Modulate. office parties in decorous.
La 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 la.
Drink too much, offend and bore us.
La 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 la. You can pass out at your leisure. La 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 la.
Wake yourself when you self-pleasure.
La 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 la. Modulate again.
At co-workers, make crude passes.
La 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 la.
Say they've got
enormous asses.
La 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 la. Strip down to your thong of leather. La 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 la.
Get your resume together.
La 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 la.
This is J.D. Doyle, and thanks for joining me here on Queer Voices for the second part of my Queer Music Christmas special. Every year, I love putting together these shows that are packed full of the Christmas music you won't be sick of by now. I gather this music all year and have very seldom repeated any songs over the years. And that song was brand new and very queer indeed, done by an act I've followed for quite a while, the Kinsey Six. Their new album is called, Are You Ready? Oy Vey in a Manger. And here's another track from it, which also shows their comedy talents.
Oh, Winnie, you're a glow.
Really? Am I?
Would I compliment you if it weren't true?
Not even then.
Then you know I mean it.
Oh!
Seriously, girl, you're radiant. What's up?
Girls, I guess this is as good a time to tell you as any. I'm going to have a baby.
What? But I didn't even know that you were pregnant.
Oh, I'm not pregnant.
Well, then how do you know you're going to have a baby?
Oh, well, last week I went to a bris, and I caught the foreskin.
Oh, mazel tov.
Thank you. Oh, plus it makes an excellent hair scrunchie in a pinch.
Wow.
Thanks for the tip.
Sure.
But, you know, that's not the only reason I'm glowing. I just got back from my annual week-long post-meni-outzeret pre-tubish spa trip to the spa. I had a moment of deep upset when I went in for my hot oil massage and was told there was no hot oil to be had. But somehow whatever was left miraculously lasted for 8 days. Oh, and that's not all I did while I was at the spa. I had a little facial. I made it out of clay. When it was dry and ready, I looked like Doris Day.
Oh, facial, 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 she made it out of clay. Facial, 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 she looks like Doris Day. Oh, facial, 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 she made it out of clay. Facial, 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 she looks like Doris Day.
I am a little nasal. My gender is a miss. They barred me from Hadassah. But let me in B'nai B'ris.
Oh, Madel, 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 her gender is a miss.
Miss
Madel, 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 they let her in B'nai B'ris. Oh, Madel, 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 her gender is a miss.
Miss
Madel, 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 they let her in B'nai B'ris. We are the Kinsey Shiksas. We don't understand this song. But since we have to live here, we're gonna sing along. Oh, Shiksas, 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 we don't understand this song. Shiksas, 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 we're gonna sing along. Oh, Shiksas, 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 we don't understand this song. Shiksas, 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 we're gonna sing along. Oh, Shiksas, 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 we don't understand this song. Gentile Kinsey Shiksas, we're gonna sing along.
Shiksas, 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 gonna sing along.
Hey!
And when it's dry and ready, well, the dreidel I shall play. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. And now it's dry and ready, now the dreidel I shall play. It has a lovely body with lace so short and thin. And when it's all tired,
It drops and then I win. Oh, Dreddy, 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 we're late for sure and thin. Oh, Dreddy, 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 it drops and then I win. Jewish way. A dreidel, 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 it loves to dance and spin. Oh, dreidel, 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 come play, now let's begin. Spin! Jewish way, but dreidel always playful. It loves to dance and spin. A happy game of dreidel. Come play, now let's begin. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. It loves to dance and spin. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Come play. Thank you.
for the Kinsey Six wacky version of the Dreidel song, you heard another unusual but very good version by Elvez from his 2002 CD, Snow Way Jose. I just love his sound effects for the dreidel on that one. And also from that album was I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. I think he's the only gay artist I know of who's released two Christmas albums. In addition to Snow Way Jose in 2002, in 1994 he also released Merry Mexmas. One of my artist friends who has been away from the scene for way too long is Dave Hall. I am very pleased to know that he's making music again. He sent me two songs from his new Christmas album.
Good morning, blue. Blues, how do you do? Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? I feel all right, but I come to worry you. I lay down last night, turning from side to side. I lay down last night, turning from side to side. I was not sick, I was just dissatisfied. Got up this morning, blues walking round my bed. Got up this morning, blues walking round my bed. Went to eat my breakfast and blues was all in my bread. Well, tomorrow's Christmas and I wanna see Santa Claus. Yes, tomorrow's Christmas and I wanna see Santa Claus. If I don't get my baby for Christmas, I'm gonna break all the laws. Santa Claus, listen to my plea. Yeah, Santa Claus, listen to my plea. I don't want nothing for Christmas but my baby back to me. Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? I feel all right, but I come to worry you. The kids are sleeping snug. The dog's dozing on his rug. Gifts are up beneath the tree, and you're lying next to me. I have all I could want. You are home and Christmas in Vermont. I will hold you by the fire's glow after kissing. Out of sight, a gentle wind blows. Out of sight, a warm sun.
Santa Claus Blues and Christmas in Vermont. Another artist whose voice I just love is Cam Clark. He released what I consider a remarkable album in 1998 called Inside Out. And he finally has a new release, and it's a Christmas album. It's called Homeward.
Cheek to cheek, rooms full of laughter. If these old walls could speak, hallowed halls, holy if hallowed halls could talk, these would have a tale, I know. Rain coming down and mistletoe. Children looking for the gifts they seek from floor to rafter. If these old halls could speak, they would tell you of the memories that I visit day to day. Close my eyes, I'm homeward, though I know I can't stay. What these walls could say. Joy and sigh and footfall, a Christmas dream that we came to seek, all followed after. If these old walls could speak, they would tell you that I love you more than words could ever say. In my heart I'm heading home, and I'll never go away. That's what these walls would say. If they were not so meek, if these old walls could speak. Can't you hear the
childlike heart tonight. Rockies are calling, Denver snow falling, somebody said it's 4 feet deep. It doesn't matter, give me the laughter, I'm gonna choose to keep another tender Tennessee Christmas, the only Christmas for me, where the love circles around us like the gifts around our tree.
Cam Clark, that was If These Walls and Tennessee Christmas. There's a charity organization called Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS that, among a lot of other good work, issues a CD every year featuring mostly Broadway singers and actors. I think my favorite of their annual albums is one from 1993 called Cabaret Noel. I featured songs from it before, and this time I'm playing the group Betty. I'm using their medley called Jingle Bells, but as you'll see, it covers a lot of ground in a minute and a half.
Dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. And when you're dry and ready, then dreidel, I will play. Hey!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, 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 jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey, oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open.
Ha, 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 the weather outside is frightful. But my dear, you're so delightful. It's a winter, it's a winter, it's a winter wonderland. Oh, the weather outside is frightful. But my dear, you're so delightful. It's a winter, it's a winter, it's a winter wonderland. Oh, the weather outside is frightful. But my dear, you're so delightful. It's a winter.
What fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey, oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, 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 jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey, oh, what fun it is to ride in a
jing, 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 jing,
jing, jing, jing, jing, one-horse open sleigh. Hey, hey, hey,
I find it amazing, and for her fans, unfortunate, that Dusty Springfield, with the countless albums she recorded, never did a Christmas album. She had one Benefit 45 with a song called Oh Holy Child, and with her first group, the Springfields, an EP, of which I think this song is the best. The Springfields and We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And now for a little change of pace. From last year, here's a gay duo going by the name Von Tanner doing Santa Claus, You're Fat.
Everybody's trying some new diet craze. Everybody's working out doing aerobics these days. But there's one guy that gets bigger every year. So we're singing him this song loud and clear. Santa Claus, you're fat. Your cholesterol is up. And you're putting added stress on the reindeer. Santa Claus, you're fat. It's not good for your heart.
This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, bringing you special cover, or special presentation of the queer music heritage normally heard on Queer Voices Monday nights.
Another Valentine's Day. I guess it's finally here. It seems there's nothing more to do than what I did last year. I'll work late, walk the dog, make dinner, watch a movie. I'll dim the lights and light the fire and wear my coat of envy. But I keep believing, tell myself it's gonna be okay. The day the holidays.
Following Von Tanner was Mike Rickard and Home from the Holidays from his album from last year, Stirred Not Shaken.
If I wear a fairy on a Christmas tree, oh, how happy and gay I'd be. I'd weave my magical dreams of joy for every little girl and every little boy. I'd make...
Okay, that gay fairy was Dora Bryan, a singer from England who released that song in 1963. And you've already heard the most interesting part of the song. So this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. And my regular listeners know that I'm very prone to have longer versions of my show on my site. And that happened again for this show, as there are several songs that I just could not squeeze into an hour show, but still wanted you to hear. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude.
I just can't go out there tonight. I've had it. I'm through. Why do I have to climb down the chimney? Why can't I walk in the front door like anybody else? It's discrimination.
Oh, how I wish Paul Lynde would have released a Christmas album. Or for that matter, any musical album. I want to thank an artist named Dave Montana for sending me this song. He now has an album out on his own called Such Things as Love and Pain. But in 1988, he was drummer for a techno-pop band called No U-Turn. On their album, Puppet's Frustration, was a track called A Christmas Song with gay lead singer George Andujar.
not at home. Try to imagine a Christmas all alone. That's where I'll be since you left me. My tears good now the snow. What can I do without you? I've got no place, no place to go.
Called Lonely This Christmas. That's from 1997 from a very out-of-the-closet Dutch singer named Gerard Joling. You should hear him sing Where the Boys Are. And now from the 1995 live album 1200 Curfews, here's the Indigo Girls doing Joni Mitchell's song The River.
It's coming on Christmas. I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here. It stays pretty green. And I'm making a lot of money. Then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. And I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so wild. I made my baby cry.
river that I could skate away on. God, I wish I had a river so wide.
So we're wishing you season's greetings.
Though I'm not made of flesh and blood and bone and bits of gristle, I'm just some frozen H2O who's happy when it's 10 below. I'm a snowman. No, a snow person. And I've got feelings too.
Also from 1995 was Lisa Cook with You'll Never Melt My Heart. That's from her wonderful album called You Make My Pants Pound. An artist I was pleased to meet this year was Sean Thomas, and I asked him about one of the songs from his album called Born. Please tell us about the song They Danced.
Oh, I love that song. I like to think about, as I, you know, different times of the year, if you're in Easter or if you're in Christmas, I try to keep in mind the whole church calendar, really, I guess, is the way to think about it. But if you're at Easter, to think about where we've come from the birth of the Christ. And if you're at Christmas, to think about where we're going to and where this is going to lead to the crucifixion and to the resurrection. And so what I like about that song is that it starts out really talking about the birth of the Christ and the celebration that had to be going on up in heaven with the angels dancing and celebrating the birth of the Christ. And then the song ends by talking about the resurrection, and he shows how it's the same celebration that must have been going on when they danced in heaven.
Cold and dark on a winter's night, shepherds shivered, not from cold but fright. There before them stood an angel in white, saying, "Don't you be afraid, it's gonna be alright. I'm here to tell you all about some very good news. There's a baby being born, and he's the king of
angels in their heavenly host started moving to the music of the Holy Ghost. They danced in the sky and the stars all around. They danced through the trees and the grass on the ground. The Savior was born into human estate. Was the song that the shepherds heard the angels say. The sky turned from night into blinding light. Music was heard singing joy and delight. But this was the day that the Lord had made. They were invited to see the babe and they danced. The shepherds believed what the angel said. So they went out to find where Jesus laid his head. Not in a palace or a castle of gold, but a lonely manger bed, just the way they'd been told. And when they found a lamb there in swaddling clothes, they told him all about the angel and the Holy Ghost. And everyone who heard it, they were all amazed. After Jesus had grown, he did fulfill what the prophets made known. He died on a cross, in a tomb laid his head. But come Sunday morning, he was no longer dead.
It's a Thursday in December, and I'm looking for you, but I haven't even met you, yet I'm hoping to. I wonder if we'll meet passing on the street, or while I'm Christmas shopping. It's a Thursday in December, and I'm ready for love's fall. And the green is quickly yielding to the gently falling white. Yet my icy heart is melting, dying from its love. And the green.
even know you're a memory of the future invented in the snow. And the Bethlehem, PA, from September to December, silent light. Joy to the world, God rest ye merry gentlemen. The first Noel, it was swell the first nine times. Here they come a-wassailing, hark the herald angels sing. In the mall, deck the hall all day. And upon a midnight clear, they're ringing in my ears, Christmas song. Ever long, no escape. It matters not where I am sitting then all day. I hear the bells and I will tell you all the truth. If they play the 12 days of it again, I'll rip the holly and the ivy from their roots. Those three kings would be remiss not to ask what child is this. Green sleeves, now leave, be on your way. Would it be unkind to tell you to stop the jingle bells? Christmas songs all day long, no escape. Here they come a-wassailing, hark the herald angels sing. In the mall, deck the hall, brings me to tears. All the shepherds and the sheep, I can sing them in my sleep. Christmas songs all night long every year. All the shepherds and the sheep, I can sing them in my sleep. Christmas songs all day long every year. It came upon
all right, stop that.
No.
Clear. Something else. That's still a Christmas song. Now stop it.
The first Noel.
Hey, what did I tell you? Something not Christmas. Okay?
Minnesota.
That's worse. Stop it. Don't do that.
Silent.
What? Can we get something else going here? This is not. No. That's. There you go.
Yeah. We gotta go now.
That set started off with Sean Thomas and They Danced, and from the album Pretty on Thursday came the song Thursday in December. That was Leah Zachary's third album from 2003, and I recommend them all. And finishing off that set was Ann Reed, and I really like that track. It's called Christmas Songs, and is from her 2001 album named Not Your Average Holiday CD, indeed. And now, here's a very pretty version of What Are You Doing New Year's Eve by Tom Grounds.
When the bells all ring and the horns all blow and the carols we know are fondly kissing, will I be or will I be among the missing? Maybe it's much too early in the game. Ah, but ask you just the same. What are you doing? Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock at night, welcoming in a new thousand invitations you'll receive. Ah, but in case I stand one little chance, then comes the jackpot question in advance. What do you do? When
up to the last two songs of the show. But before I get to them, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And I especially want to thank Sean Thomas for his interview comments. You can see photos of all the artists and recordings on tonight's show and view the playlist at my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. And you can also hear this show and all my past Christmas shows there as well. And if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back with a new edition of Queer Music Heritage on the fourth Monday of next month. That'll be my sixth anniversary show. I'm ending this show with two selections that are very campy, each in their own way. The first is not a Christmas song, but I think you'll forgive me by the time you get to the second song. From 1997, there was a musical called Freeway Dreams, written by gay songwriter and playwright Wayne Moore. And at least some of the cast members were gay. The song I picked from it is called The Bette Davis Chorus. It's the perfect intro for a song that's become a tradition on my Christmas shows. That song's by Jimmy James from her 2002 album, Have Yourself a Merry Jimmy James Christmas. You won't forget her version of Feliz Navidad.
Betty Davis, 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 the Virgin Jezebel, and Baby Jane, the Virgin Jezebel, and Baby Jane, fasten your seatbelts, it's gonna be a bumpy night. And she shall smoke forever, forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever. Betty Davis, Betty Davis, Betty Davis, Betty Davis.
Oh, Jane, you wouldn't speak to me that way if I wasn't in this chair.
But you are in that chair, Blanche, you are. And you ain't ever getting out either.
Betty Davis.
I wanna win.
wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Oh, God, is there no end to this song? Somebody stop the song. I'm Betty Davis. Stop the song.
Actually, I prefer the Pop Rivers version of Police Stole My Car.
Police Stole My Car. I like that. I've heard it before. I think J.D. Brought that up to this station in past years.
You're listening to After Hours.
Wonderful. Yes.
With a little touch of queer voices.
Queer music heritage. That was the second Christmas show done by J.D. Doyle. And you can, of course, hear that and more on his website.
QueerMusicHeritage.org.
There you go.
Hear the other Christmas songs that you can't play on his show. And the CD doesn't work for us to play it on our show.
Mm-mm.
No. Hey, I've tried to play Below Me It's Christmas, but CD keeps screwing up.
I see, yes. Was that the Elvez thing?
Well, that's on the same CD, Elvez. I forget who does Below Me It's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy's flying on Santa's sleigh, and he says, Below Me It's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Gotcha.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You are indeed.
Sticking to something. This is our fifth Friday, Saturday, whatever we want to call us.
Fifth Friday.
And we're back to Fridays.
Well,
we start off saying we're Saturday, and we say we're Friday.
Technically, we're on Saturdays because it's 1 a.m.
But it's not the next day until you go to bed.
Right.
It's been your mantra for 18 years.
I know.
Which means, for me, it's not tomorrow till at least 10 o'clock tomorrow.
That early.
Yeah. Well, I got a party to go to.
Yeah.
A barbecue.
Oh.
Don't you know you can't have flames out there now? It's a tinderbox, damn it, a tinderbox.
New Year's Eve barbecue. Yes, that sounds very Texan. That sounds very Texan. Who's mumbling in the background there?
Some of the tagalongs that came along.
Ah.
Why don't they introduce themselves?
Well, why don't they get in a mic?
Oh, I gotta push more buttons.
I'm sorry.
That's you too.
It's also
get in
you,
here, Ronnie.
Honey.
I have to go over here. See what I started.
See what you started.
Dag nabbit.
My. Lots happened this year, you know?
Yeah. Large parts of it really bad.
Yeah, but there were some high points like Brokeback Mountain.
I really don't want to discuss that movie.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
I have no intention of going either.
Okay.
It's a long story.
It must be, because I am really thrilled that a gay-themed movie that started out only at the River Oaks Theater is now getting advertising all over television and playing in theaters all over town.
Well, not just that. I mean, they were originally going to roll out to 200... theaters, contrary to what some people were thinking, that, you know, it should have rolled out to everyone at the same time. This Brokeback Mountain was supposed to come out in three stages.
Yes.
New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, to get them into Oscar and Golden Globe contention.
Sure.
And then the limited release that we were at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end of January, they're supposed to go to 200 theaters, but it's going so well. They're going to do 300 theaters at the beginning of January.
All right. All right.
So it is really...
Sorry.
No, I mean... The part keeps getting me is I keep watching these commercials for Toy Story 2. I keep going, Toy Story 2, Woody goes to Brokeback Mountain.
You know, I
Disney would probably balk at that idea.
I refer to
Disney
it
as, would have a coronary.
I refer to it as a gay-themed film, but it's really not a gay-themed film. It's a bisexual-themed film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the...
maybe one of my biggest peeves is what happens to one to the.
I don't know the storyline, so don't tell me. It's actually even a limited bisexually themed movie because these guys have a relationship with each other only.
Well, the one guy's married.
I think both of them are married.
I think both of them are supposed to be married, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I can't see it yet.
You can't see it yet.
No, I gotta wait till it goes to a bigger theater.
River Oaks
was made back in the day when Ozzie and Harriet were running around, and you know, people were wafer thin.
Mm. Oh, I don't. You know that I am quite sure there were people of size back then. Look at my grandfather. I was watching this thing on TV with like it was a group of movie critics, mm-hmm, all talking about the movies of the year, and they were talking about Brokeback Mountain, and they were talking about the fact that how far we had to have come that a movie about two men in love with each other,
yes,
is now is a possibility as an Oscar contender.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, that's
because
they have two very popular stars in them. It's, you know, mm-hmm, there's a lot of gay, bi, lesbian themed movies,
and their sex scene probably didn't help, but the actors are unknown,
and so those movies don't go anywhere.
Yeah, but even, you know, even with the best of actors out there,
mm-hmm,
if your movie sucks, it's not going to float.
Well,
you know, and they won't even go near the idea of an Oscar.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really kind of something that, you know, they're actually talking about that in terms of this movie.
Well, we're not talking about War of the Worlds here.
Yeah.
Which was a wonderful exercise in computer graphics.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. Sorry, in history there have been exactly two movies of Tom Cruise's that I have ever liked. Two.
Oh.
I can't stand the man.
Actually, he's quite good in it.
Can't stand the man.
Which two?
Minority Report and Legend.
Tom, go figure.
The acting sucked, but hey. Gold fairy mail.
Hey.
Okay? And it only went to here. And he was cute back then.
Mm-hmm. That's why you need to go see All the Right Moves.
Okay. I mean, I just think it's remarkable that they were right, that it is remarkable that we've finally come to a point where, as somebody else in the panel put it, there used to be a time when being gay in a film was poison.
Yeah.
Today, it's like, you can't make a TV show anymore if you don't have a gay character in
just
it. Just
about.
It's like,
yeah. I mean, I haven't even heard much from the American Family Association. I think I read something that's saying that, you know, they found some good in the movie.
You're kidding.
I may have been mistaken, or maybe it was a satire one there.
You're not the only one I've heard that from.
You know, they supposedly found something good in there.
Wow.
Okay.
I think it was the fact they weren't driving Fords.
Did somebody at the American Family Association forget to have their vodka that day? Why?
Yeah, they forgot their little bigot pills.
Forgot their bigot pills?
They're probably too busy gearing up for the new television show coming on NBC.
Which
that has
one?
Their panties in a knot.
What?
The Book of Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
The Book of Daniel, from what I've heard about it, it's a some sort of Protestant minister, mm-hmm, named Daniel.
Aiden Quinn.
I forget which faith it is. Who, in kind of the same way that Joan of Arcadia was, he has conversations with Jesus.
Okay.
Who appears in the car or wherever he is with, and talking, and he has a, Daniel has a son who is a gay Republican.
Ooh,
oh,
ouch.
Great mother goddess help us.
Okay.
What do gay Republicans do? Go into back alleys and bash each other? I just, anyhow, sorry. But...
Ooh. That's not. They all got a Dale Carpenter's house. So. Party hardy.
The
hey, we've seen what they've done.
Like a, it looks like it could be a cute show, though. I mean, the in a funny sort of way, it still it has yet another gay connection because Aidan Quinn's first big role was as the main character in an early Frost.
Oh yes, that's right.
And
wow,
and you know,
that was
20 years later, he's still beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
He is still fine. I don't care if he's playing a priest. I'd still do him.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, see the voice they were talking about. Some of the TV shows that are coming out. The thing may have gay characters in them or not.
Hmm.
Four Kings, Book of Daniel, Love Monkey, Emily's Reasons Why Not, and Crumbs.
Crumbs? Oh, yeah. Crumbs. Isn't that the one with Fred Savage?
Yeah.
Who's all grown up and oh so...
What? Or...
Out of the closet?
We've got a caller.
At least in the movie.
All
in
right,
the
hold on, let's see here. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Paul.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. The American Family Association's comment on Brokeback Mountain and some of the right-wing commentators on the radio?
Yeah.
It's a very well-made, very beautiful movie. It's morally corrupt because it places a love affair that breaks up a family on equivalency with good marriage.
Ooh.
So it's a poison pill. But it's a well-made pill.
But yeah. It's
okay.
Oh, hey. You gotta love those backhanded compliments.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay.
You gotta love that.
I didn't think the American Family Association was gonna like it very much.
Well, their main objection is the moral equivalency argument.
Okay. Yeah, that we're just as good as anybody else.
As long as we're...
Yeah.
As long as we act like everybody else and do a straight thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they would prefer that no illicit affairs of any kind outside of marriage ever be portrayed on the screen.
And, of course, they're not going to allow us to get married, so...
Well...
It's amazing to me how
They talk about how morally bankrupting we are because we live in sin. But we're not allowed to get married. Hello.
Hello.
Yep. Okay.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Thank you, Paul.
All right.
Okay, have a good drive home.
Watch out on the roads because they've already started this weekend.
He's on the road. He's got to get up early in the morning.
Okay, here we go. Let me quickly read through here.
Yes.
What's
a movie review of Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, okay.
Stark. Dobson.
Oh, my God. Dobson.
Focus on the family.
Oh, damn.
Star-crossed lovers. They filled book pages and film frames for as long as those things have existed. Tristan and Isildur, Romeo and Juliet, Superman and Lois Lane, and now Ennis and Jack. Take everything you know about how love works or doesn't work when two people are crazy about each other and find themselves doomed to a life of separation by time, distance, or culture. And remove the woman from the equation, what's left is Brokeback Mountain. Positive elements. Usually it's a negative thing when people give up on the societal norms and give up on their dreams, refuse to step across racial divides. But here, Ennis's reluctance to live with Jack is a good example of how established, biblical, morality within a culture can help people make right decisions.
Right decisions, okay, right.
It isn't a pressure so strong that keeps him from repeatedly having sex with Jack, though. spiritual content. They talk about religion in this. One was Pentecostal, one was Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
Jokes are made about going to heaven or marching off to hell on that great day. Crack is made about the fire and brimstone crowd. Ennis and Alma are married in a Christian ceremony. Oh, here's the important part. Sexual content. A sexual interaction shared by Jack and Ennis is usually rough and tumble. Newsweek calls it fierce and full-blooded. There's a lot of pushing, shoving, grappling, and holding. In fact, one bit of foreplay/horseplay gets so physical that it ends up in a short-lived fist fight. Several scenes show how two men groping each other and kissing. Half the time, it looks more like forceful mashing than kissing. Once the camera starts, keep staring as the kisses give way to anal sex.
Ooh.
There is no nudity shown.
Yes, there is.
But the sequence is explicit. It includes sexual motions and sounds. Ennis and Jack both have heterosexual sex, too. Ennis and Alma get physical twice. Both scenes are graphic. One includes breast nudity. On the day they meet, Jack and Lauren make out and prepare to go further.
So half the pictures in the Vatican.
Yes.
Big frilling deal.
So we see... Oh, here we go. We also see Jack washing his clothes. All of them. He's seen nude from the side and the back. Jack and Ennis jump naked into the water for a swim, seen from a distance.
Yes, I've seen those pictures, and they were close-ups.
He's describing this stuff like they do reviews for porn movies. Yeah.
Oh, wait, I mean,
like this guy does that scene, and this. It's like, what the?
Well, it's like 1 second of frontal nudity.
Good God, help me.
I mean, there's a section here on violent content, crude or profane language. Now, 24 F words and 6 S words.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they say it in here. F words and S words. Right. Ennis yells the F word among
because
things
that
his wife.
Say that on the
you
air.
Can. In front of his kids. God's name is combined with the D-N about 8 times.
Ooh.
8 goddams.
Oh.
Jesus' name is abused at least 3 times. Crude anatomical slang is used to describe women, and other milder profanities are said.
I love the fact that in this country, when they bleep stuff out of TV shows now, when they bleep that word out of TV shows now, they bleep out the God, not the damn.
This is kind of weird. Somebody reviewed this, and instead of watching the movie for what it is and enjoying the storyline, they're busy counting the number of F words.
Yeah, well.
Watterson's is 4.
Conclusion. Taiwanese director Ang Ling. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
certainly doesn't soft sell the damage done by the choices Jack and Ennis make. But you don't walk away from Brokeback Mountain thinking of the destructiveness of acting on homosexual temptations. Rather, you're left with the idea that these cowboy lovers would have experienced none of this pain if only social and moral norms had allowed them to pursue their passion from the get-go. The only reason Ennis' marriage ends in divorce, teaches the film, is because he should never have been married to a woman. The only reason Jack treks down to Mexico to enlist the services of a gay prostitute is because he doesn't get enough face time with his true love, Ennis. And the only reason that doesn't get that time with Ennis is because society won't let them be together. That's a powerful message far too many people are accepting, as evidenced by the thunderous applause I heard swelling around me when the credits began to roll.
I was waiting for the other shoe to fall in that statement.
Bingo. They get down the part here and they start quoting scripture.
Okay, forget that.
for its part in the larger spiritual issue of relationships, Brokeback Mountain takes the love Jack and Ennis share and triumphantly turns it into lust. As Gyllenhaal, whatever.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Honey, I'm just going to be screaming Jake. I'm not going to
Yeah, exactly.
They're two men having sex. There's nothing hidden there.
Oh.
Then it blames human intolerance for the inevitable fallout. We're going to put him on the air.
Okay.
Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Fine, Alex. How you doing? Where are you?
I'm at home. Just chilling and, you know, whatever.
Okay.
I was actually at work sitting in the break room reading... I don't know what the heck that magazine's called. That's not the point. I heard that Heath is up for, I guess, a Golden Globe for his part in there. They were listing the reasons why and why not, possibly, they would get a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Hold on. Acting up now. They were saying that he's a possibility, likely reason why not is because of the fact that the movie, you know, had such a fallout in the box office. And I guess for Best Supporting Actor, Gyllenhaal was supposed to be nominated as well. And the reason being is because I guess it's pretty much Heath's movie or something to that effect, and I guess that's how they think out there.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. But I just thought I'd throw that in.
Okay.
Anyway, I've seen some of the movie, and,
How come you've only seen some of the movie?
Yeah, well, I have.
They threw him out for fondling his horse.
For getting the armrest sticky, something like that, yeah.
You gotta remember, the French Quarter's not around. You can't do that in a movie theater anymore.
Well, it's still around. It's just only partially operational. So
not that French Quarter. I'm sorry. I forgot you're young.
You're young, yes. We were talking about...
No, never mind.
Male adult cinema.
Uh-huh.
That used to be right down the street on Elgin.
Oh, you mean one of those coin-driven cinemas?
What?
One of the coin-driven cinemas?
No. It was a big screen.
Yeah.
With theater seats.
And the stickiness on the floor was not from the popcorn butter.
No, it was not.
And there were plenty of live shows.
Soda.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I did actually see the movie. I saw it Christmas night, and it is virtually perfect.
Really?
The only thing is some of the aging makeup is a little obvious, and I thought, well, it's a small budget film. I thought, why didn't they CGI it? It's like, oh yeah, this is low budget.
This is an independent film.
One thing I will say, it has, if you want to see some gorgeous scenery,
mm-hmm.
it is beautiful, and that reviewer is crazy. What Heath Ledger has a real nice one, and
the review moves around quite a bit.
Okay, the reviewer in question
was Lou Dobson.
Is James Dobson?
James Dobson.
He must have been watching.
James Dobson.
I need to let everyone know you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener sponsored commercial free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Okay.
One of the things I found was that one breath I didn't hear. Yeah. One of the things I found most interesting about that review is his description of the sex scenes.
Uh-huh.
Because there is more... Yeah, they do have rough and tumble, and it's very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also all these scenes where they just are like puppies rubbing against each other, and they're laying there holding each other and just fondling each other in a real loving, embracing way. And I think that's more upsetting to people like that than hardcore sex.
Yeah.
Because God forbid we should be doing it the same way. The rough stuff
you can pretend it's wrestling or something.
But the whole way the story told is extremely simple. It's all Heath Ledger is a revelation in terms of anybody who has been out and gay for any time at all, you know these people. You have met these people. It's so accurate.
Oh.
And you leave I didn't cry. I can see where people would cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's interesting. But as I walked out of the theater, the movie hit me like a ton of bricks.
That was one of those delayed reaction movies.
Yeah.
There's the other part of it.
But that's better.
With the rough stuff, you can take the leap that they're doing it under duress, that they're not doing it because they truly, it's just about their love, but it's also about fighting another nature, you know, and which to us is a big old crock, but it's, you know, on some level.
Well, you know that.
Young people being aggressive with each other because that's the only way they can express that that need to touch another person of the same sex.
Yes.
So they And because society says to do it any other way,
they become a wrestler.
They'd be queer. Yeah. I mean, literally.
Yeah. Seriously.
You know,
because you can't just touch.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember what little physical activity they allowed me to do as a child. You know, my physical interactions with other guys was wrestling, dodgeball. You know. Things where people got tackled, you know.
One of the things, accidentally came across. It's not True West, but there's two different magazines that talk that are history of the old West type magazines.
Yeah.
And I'm an artist. I'm constantly looking through magazines to rip out pictures to make collages.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
Oh yeah.
In one of these, the current Western magazines, they have two articles on homosexuality in the old West, and one addresses how it's been a forbidden subject for so long, and he does this. I wish I had it with me so I could quote it, but he really does a beautiful and very even-tempered and sane examination of all that, and saying how Brokeback Mountain really opens up all that. And then there's a review of the movie, and they gave it a favorable review.
Oh.
And I thought, that's the straight press. I mean, this is a largely a macho magazine in some sense. And the fact that Brokeback Mountain is broken some new ground there. I mean, because the guy that writes the right-wing stuff in the, not right-wing, but the writer stuff, in one of the publications, local publications, had a review, and he said, it's just another movie where gay people don't end up happy.
Ooh.
And I thought about what he said, because I read it before the movie, and then I walked out, and I thought, well, I see what he's talking about, but I think any person with any kind of decent feelings walks out of that movie feeling like these guys should have been together.
Mm-hmm.
That the great tragedy is that they didn't really get to play out their love the way it should have. And yes, it'd be great to have happy gay cowboy movies or whoever with big stars. It's another step in the right direction. I remember when Boys in the Band first came out, and I wasn't exactly like the people in the movie, and I sort of hated it, or it embarrassed me or something. And now I look back and I see how important and what a landmark that movie was. And
absolutely.
It gives, and the reason why is the same why this one is really important is because it's accurate.
Yeah.
It was accurate, and this is accurate, and the truth always brings things closer to just everybody dealing with reality.
You may not have been like any of the guys in Boys in the Band,
mm-hmm.
but you certainly knew a lot of people who were just like that.
And I was nervously coming out.
I know a lot of people who are like that today.
It was just that they were filled with this internalized homophobia that ruled their lives.
But just the fact that it was on the screen unvarnished is so important.
Yes.
Those steps are the important ones when the truth is told.
And two-thirds of that cast is now dead, you know.
Well, yeah.
But, hey.
Anyway, so that's
well, supposedly, right now, it's all a thing here. Brokeback Mountain has made $10.2 million.
It's making the most per theater.
Wow.
And if you look at, I mean, it's not huge
making
release.
Records
but
for what
per theater.
What theaters it's in for the number of theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time I saw was opening weekend, it was 8th.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and it's really, you know, doing stuff.
I saw it in the Woodlands, and nobody giggled. There were couples. It was a very mixed audience.
Uh-huh.
People seemed to be very moved and quiet on the way out. Nobody giggled during any scenes.
How big was the crowd?
It wasn't very big, but when I bought my ticket, I went early to get my tickets to make sure I got in. And he said, are you selling a lot? And he said, well, I've been selling them. Like, it's been packed all day, but I don't think it'll be packed for the evening show. And it wasn't.
Okay.
But, you know, it was a Sunday, and Monday people had to be work tomorrow.
Mm. Okay, so
anyway,
for 2005, we have Brokeback Mountain as one type of film, and we have Rent as another type of film from the Broadway play.
Haven't seen that.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I give it mixed reviews because I saw the play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
I devoured the play.
Yeah, well, the play is more gutsy than the movie. They had to dumb it down, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that when you sit there and watch the play and you go and you see the movie, you're gonna, if you're really anal about some stuff, you're gonna sit there and go, "Hey, that didn't happen in the movie," you know.
I actually wanted to see Rent. I never got to.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. You the movie. If you hadn't seen the play, the movie's great.
Mm. Well, first of all, the play is an opera.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not really correct calling it a play. It's a musical. It's an opera.
Yes, and the movie has a lot of dialogue.
Ah,
they do spoken word. Mm-hmm. They move things around. The one part, like I said, I really liked about it is when they open the movie, they pay tribute to the fact that it was a musical.
Mm-hmm.
That basically the movie starts as if you were watching the opening of Act Two.
Ah.
Where the character, the eight major characters are on stage singing Seasons of Love.
Yes.
Hmm.
On a theater stage.
On the theater stage.
No one in the audience. And the camera pans all around, so you see the people who are performing. You see that they're performing to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very powerful way, yes, to start. And then after that, you know, some things start kind of getting edited in and out. If you love the if you love the musical and there's that really intense scene, the sex scenes right before Angel's passing. You're not going to see anything like that.
No,
what a shame.
Absolutely not.
I mean, the relationship between Angel and Tom Collins in the movie, you see of interaction, is there is one kiss, and then
is there only one kiss?
Well, there's the one kiss on the subway when they do Do You Know the Way to Santa Fe?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's on the subway when Tom is holding Angel as they're going to the hospital. And, you know, the way they staged it there, it was so, because my Catholicism is sticking in, it was so Pieta.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
It was a very Pieta,
yes,
which is, you know, Mary holding Jesus.
Yes.
Very
much like that, yes. But, you know, in reflection, because I did see the movie, I thought they hugged and kissed a lot more than just once. Because that is the way their relationship was portrayed, is very, very loving.
And another thing is this, in the movie, Angel is 95% in drag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't know, as far as you're concerned, you can tell the little kiddies that that's actually just a really ugly woman.
Actually, I think he made a very beautiful woman.
But, I mean, the fact is that in the play, there are, you know, Angel's not in drag the whole time.
That's all right, Jimmy. Okay. We'll make allowances for your eyesight.
Hey.
But, I mean, that's just part of it. You know, I still enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would have probably enjoyed it more if I hadn't seen the musical ahead of time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because, I mean, I devoured the musical.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was wonderful.
See, that's the problem, because a film and a stage show are two different mediums.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's good and bad with each of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've even read a couple of reviews of the producers, which I haven't seen yet either, where they complain about that, well, they just filmed the show, the theater, and it's overacted. Yeah. But the director sort of mentioned that Mel Brooks said, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just film the musical."
That's probably what would help with the producers is the fact Mel Brooks is still around.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Unfortunately, Jonathan is not.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even get to see it performed for a paying audience.
That's right.
To tell the truth, I loved it, but I didn't love the second act as much as I loved the first act. Something, I don't know why exactly.
It gets a little darker.
Yeah. Well, and I sort of thought it went on for a while. I mean, I don't know exactly what it would have taken. But
well,
I mean,
you also have to...
I love the comment, but I kept sort of wandering. I don't know. And I'm pretty good audience in terms of attention span.
Well, see, one of the things you also have to consider is in the actual musical, mm-hmm. Act 1 takes place over a four-hour period.
That's true.
Act 2 is a year.
That's it. Yeah. You're right. That's part of it.
You're having to flip through.
Yeah.
The movie also butchered that part.
Mm, what a shame.
The fact that they took a lot of stuff and they expanded it out so that there was stuff that in my mind I'm sitting there going, you know, all this stuff, La Vie Boheme was supposed to really happened Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
This happened 3 days later.
Yeah.
So there is those sorts of jumble things in there once you see.
I love Love Web. I went and saw it at the down at the Jones, and they had the thing where if you go down in the afternoon and they're $20 tickets, so we were second row center.
Ooh.
Had to wait, you know, all afternoon to get the tickets. But the person I went to see it with had never been to a legitimate theater ever.
Oh my.
I mean, somebody who was seeing it at the time, he'd only been to high school productions and like that.
Oh.
So the whole thing, getting dressed up, going to Jones Hall, and then the play itself was just a complete revelation for him. Yeah.
Mm. Alex, you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
You got very quiet. It scared me.
Well, I've been blabbing away. What, you know, say something.
Usually this quiet.
That phrase, legitimate theater, just...
Like there's an illegitimate theater?
In my mind.
You're right. No, you're right. I agree.
Well, can I use the B word? It's not a...
Bitch?
Bastard theater.
Oh, okay.
I was just thinking when you say legitimate theater means, you know, the nudity is sparser. Then I saw nudity at the New House Arena.
There you go.
Why don't we step out for a second?
Okay.
Let's play a little music and regroup.
It's been nice talking to you.
Is this my cue to do the music?
No.
Okay.
You're the weakest link.
See you next week, Alex. Happy New Year.
I changed what your song was there because what we're talking about, I think it's an appropriate song with all the talk about Brokeback Mountain.
Okay.
Of course. Oh, great Mother Goddess, help me.
It's got to be Pansy Division.
Oh.
Hey, there you go. Small town don't like it when somebody falls between sexes. No, small town don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men. Well, I believe in my soul that inside every man there's a feminine. And inside every lady there's a deep manly voice loud and clear. About things that he does with his women, but the ones who brag loudest are the ones that are most likely queer. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. What did you think those saddles and boots was about? There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. Inside every cowboy there's a lady who'd love to slip out. Well, 10 men for each woman was the rule way back when on the prairie. And some of us cowboys must have kept themselves warm late at night. Cowboys are famous for getting riled up about fairies. But I'll tell you the reason a big strong man gets so uptight. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. That's why they wear leather and Levi's and belts buckle tight. There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. There's many a cowboy who's more like a lady at night. Well, there's always somebody who says what the others just whisper. And mostly that someone's the first one to get shot down dead. When you talk to a cowboy, don't treat him like he was a sister. Don't mess with a lady that's sleeping in each cowboy's head. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. Even though they take speed and drive pickups and shoot their big guns. There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. There's many a cowboy who
keeps quiet about things he's
I played the wrong song.
Yeah, who cares? I've been threatening to play that song for a while.
I know. Just on the radio.
Your subconscious must have like really been strong to get it on the sneaky way.
It must have been.
Your powers are strong.
By the Scissor Sisters. And,
hey, it could be worse. The last time we had one of those convergence of those things, and he programmed my CD and I programmed his CD.
Ooh, it was sad. But
yeah, well, you know.
What I don't have yet, and I'm going to go out and buy, is Andy Bell's solo CD. He does a song on there with Jake Shears of Scissor Sisters. And I'm anxiously awaiting that. It's gotten good reviews.
And before that, we played Pansy Division. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other.
Uh-huh, perfect.
Which should be on the soundtrack.
Should be.
Yes.
You know, Willie Nelson actually is over the credits, and there's this beautiful old folk song called He Was a Friend of Mine.
Ooh.
And like back in the 60s when I was like 15, you know, I heard it and went, oh, I want a friend like that.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of nice to have that little memory thing. And then Rufus Wainwright is very... Most everybody has gone out of the theater, but a very lovely song he wrote, evidently, for the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goddess help us, Roy is moving toward a mic.
Oh, uh-huh. Hello, Big Roy. You don't get on the mic much.
Somebody's gonna. No. We're gonna let him talk and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, that is until we can dispatch the people in the white hoods to run out with dynamite to the car.
Ouch.
Uh-oh.
Ouch.
Roy, that was so much more than I ever needed to see.
What did he show
you? He was threatening to unzip.
Oh, ouch.
No, I think he'd forgotten to zip.
Oh. Well, then he was doing us a favor.
Thank God for the partition, and he went to microphone one.
We love you, Roy.
Oh, I'm sure.
What's up, dear?
Not much. Just had to take... there was a thing out in the lobby I had to take care of. That's all. Sorry, I'm late.
There was a thing out in the lobby?
Okay, Bobby.
What did it have? Three heads, two legs, and a beak? What?
No, Bobby. Okay.
Where are we going with that?
I can't believe, Roy, you're at a loss of opinion. That's rare.
Big Roy, we're going to charge you with murder of conversation here.
Hey, so, what's been going on?
How was your Christmas?
My humbug. No, it was pretty good.
Good.
I got a surprisingly small number of gifts, but got to hang out with a rather large number of friends during the holidays.
Well, isn't that what it's about?
It all balanced out quite nicely.
Yeah.
Very good.
You know, and you know, the problem is that I keep saying that what I need for Christmas is cash.
I like that, too.
Gift certificates to your, you know, a handful of your local establishments.
I'm hard to buy for that way, too. Yeah.
And the problem is that all of the people who used to give me cash on a regular basis are now dead.
Ooh,
that would stop it.
Yeah. My father was good for the... after I finally got him to stop sending me plaid. My father, the last gift my father ever sent me in a shade of plaid was a pair of pants.
Ooh. He thought
they were yellow, blue, and green.
What, he thought you were a golfer?
Oh, gosh.
Apparently. Then there was the, before that, it was the flannel insulated lumberjack shirt.
Uh-huh.
When am I going to wear that in the city of Houston?
Maybe it had something to do with the village people.
I got that sent for my birthday. My birthday's in May.
Oh, my.
It's 95 degrees in May in this city.
This is the thought when the thought counts.
That means you didn't think very much, did you?
Thank you. The thought counts. That's lovely. Dad, I love you. Send me cash next time. That's pretty much how that conversation went. He's dead now, you see.
Oh.
But the conversation went, Dad, I love you. But from now on, could we please, just send me cash. I'll get my own gift.
My mom always, when she buys me stuff at this point, like that, she keeps the receipt. And it's all understood that when I return most of it, it's not going to be insulting.
That's colorful, by the way.
And that's a beautiful vest you have on.
Oh, thank you.
It didn't
used to be a vest.
Speaking of which, this shirt...
Yeah, it's like Christmas threw up all over this thing in
well,
a paisley
but it's also
pattern.
Paisley. You could wear. What the thing that about this shirt is that my father, when he was alive, bought this for me for Christmas. And it's a great example of my father actually got to the point where my mom said when they were shopping, he went, you know, David would really like this shirt. And he was so spot on. And it was accidentally, my mother didn't label presents. She gave it to my brother first, and he loved it. And so I'm sorry, I got to have it. Anyway.
I have this shirt that I keep that belonged to my father. And it is the most obnoxious shirt. But I keep it because it was his.
There you go.
And two of me could fit inside of it with room left over, which tells you my father was a large man. He had... Why? My father was a big guy. He wasn't much taller than me, but he was, you know, it was about as wide as round, you know.
I would have loved to have met your parents. I mean, all the stories I've heard at this point, I would have loved to have met these people.
He...
My father was the treasure of the family when it came to my being who I am on so many levels. But my father, anyhow, getting back to this shirt.
Yes.
This shirt was red, white, and blue. And green.
Oh.
Yeah, it looked like the... It
was a cross between the American flag and the Italian flag.
And not like the Italian... Oh, no, it gets
stripes.
Better. It gets better. In stripes.
Okay.
With green cuffs.
Mm.
And it's a dress shirt. And
it actually sounds kind of fun.
And you know that sort of navy gold rope thing with the anchors and the
sure.
You know, the bright gold
anchors.
The scramble with the ropes going all over the shirt. And yeah, that's on it too. It's like a Rococo nightmare. It's
are you sure your dad was a little latent somehow?
Oh my god.
My father was Sicilian. Please.
Are we now talking about bad gifts?
This is the man. Yes. This is the man who, for crying out loud, when he had our house built, had them put wall-to-wall red carpet on all three floors.
Oh.
The wallpaper, round about 1978-79, they had silver wallpaper put in their master bedroom.
Of course.
There was velour, fleur de lis.
That's what I was waiting for. Flocked.
Flocked.
Yes.
Wallpaper in the maid's quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Leading down to the maid's quarters.
So you grew up in a Martin Scorsese movie.
Oh, great. Mother goddess, help me. There was a wall that they decided it would be cool because it was the 70s. To have a beach scene down one wall, it was wallpaper. So we had Hawaii on one wall of our house. And then there were the curtains. Now, you have to understand, in my living room, the curtains have to be at least 20 feet long. In the house I grew up in, they're very high ceilings. And I think they would have called the pattern something like gingham. It was
like Dorothy's dress from Wizard of Oz?
Something like that, only not in blue. It wasn't blue.
What color?
It was red, orange, metallic reds and oranges and yellows.
Oh my.
In yet another almost plaid pattern.
And he dared to call himself a Sicilian.
It sounds sort of wonderful, but not to necessarily live with 24/7.
In a really, you wondered if my father was colorblind sometimes. And then, of course, there was the pink marble that covered the entire floor of the entrance hall.
If this house is still there, I think we need to send in Trading Spaces.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding? There are not enough people who work on that show to deal with this house.
They would keep passing out.
I would like to see if they were Trading Spaces, what he would have done with the other person's home.
There were also...
What would Queer Eye for the Straight folks say about that?
They would get past the front door and wonder if they had just entered Liberace's worst nightmare.
Oh my god.
I mean, great mother goddess help.
Jay.
And I think about my house and that house that I grew up in this time of year, because Christmas was the only good thing about my hometown. We always had a gigantic tree, and I was always forced on New Year's to have a half a glass of champagne. God, that's some nasty crap.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste if you acquire it.
I will be drinking a half a glass of champagne on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's not
at the Crown Plaza Hotel downtown.
New England eggnog.
New England eggnog?
New England eggnog is eggnog with whiskey.
Well, of course. Sounds like a Lovecraft creature, the eggnog.
Yeah, it's right up there with the Long Island iced tea.
No, it's
which has absolutely no tea in
it's
it.
It's
for those
eggnog
who may
that
not
also
know.
Has whiskey and vodka in it.
Ooh. And vodka.
Or something else.
Why anybody would ever put that in
I mean,
the
let's
same
put it this way. My oldest brother, who's definitely an experienced drinker, you know, being with NYPD and everything, he can only take one of those before he's.
Oh, my word.
He's lit.
Goodness. You know, speaking of
we've had some lovely 1970s wood paneling in the basement.
There you go.
I do want to say hello to all my MBBs out
there.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, guys.
We didn't get any mail this week.
Oh.
But, you know, I know how it is. I didn't send out any cards
Our
this
MBBs
year.
Our MBBs found us again.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Good, good.
We love you guys.
Yes.
And we appreciate the mail, and we love to talk about whatever you write about, we like to talk about on the air.
That's right. And y'all do bring up a lot of really, really good subjects.
Absolutely.
And add a lot to the show. So
absolutely.
Definitely.
You know, I've sort of felt... you know, the loss of,
empty,
of
yes.
stuff to, you know, give, you know, react to.
And, yes.
And to
most definitely.
Lead us into, it's led us into some great conversations.
It has.
So,
well, we just need Smiley to recidivate, and that'll take care of her.
Now, you'd be happy then. I'm just kidding.
I don't want them to do that.
No, I wouldn't.
I mean, the guys
not only
talk about what their life is like, you know, and what goes on, but they also find articles of interest
right.
for the show
right.
and send them in.
And have some great artwork.
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, my God.
So that's probably what's happened is some of these guys still put the old artwork on there and because of the new bans on what they can and can't send out.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe it's because Stacy isn't on anymore. And
I know.
Y'all don't have your...
RJ must send it directly to Stacy's house.
Him to go, ooh, ah.
Yes.
Oh, you know
or
what?
Or that's hot.
That's hot, yeah.
Talking about MBBs.
We miss all those
people.
I do miss Stacy, and it's because Saturday is a big day for him. He's a hair burner.
Yeah.
And he can't stay up that late on Friday night. So we do miss him, and I know the MBBs miss him, and, you know, because they write in always about him, and they write in about Gigi.
Right.
For some reason, Gigi's giggle just turns these guys on.
Gets them all in a gaggle, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that pleases him to no end.
Oh, yes.
Or his end.
Yes. His end gets pleased a lot.
You know, this is a pet kind of thing for me because it's something I've been talking about for a while.
Okay.
Which is that, talking about MBBs, this Sunday, a new TV series starts on ABC.
Injustice.
About people wrongfully prosecuted and sent to the slammer.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know how many times we have had people on death row to be discovered, oops, they're innocent.
Yeah.
You know, and how many people have we put to death before DNA and all this who were totally innocent, which is why, I feel that the death penalty just needs to just go away and never, ever come back.
I've said this before. I'll say it again. Exonerating somebody of a crime does them little good if you've executed them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it nice? They're not guilty. They're also dead.
Yeah. Can we take 3 minutes out? Because there's one song I do want to play on this last show of the year. Uh-oh. It's in CD number 3. And it has special meaning for me. It's a song I've heard all my life, and I wanted to dedicate it to our MBBs.
Your life?
Someday.
Jimmy Somerville.
Wonderful, wonderful.
From his album Dare to Love, which is, wow, that is a very, very good album that it just didn't make it in sales, but...
I do want to know one thing,
critically
though.
Acclaimed, yes.
How did Diana Ross get her head stuck in the fluff cycle of the dryer? Have you seen the hair she's been sporting the last few years?
What?
It's like this big puffball.
Oh, well, listen, she...
aging, there's no explanation for aging divas.
And by the way, what is she, about 105 now?
Just a diva out into strangeness.
You know, she just keeps those hair weavers in business.
I mean, look at the old battle-scarred survivor that Betty Davis turned into.
Oh,
she was quite something.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm still with the cigarette even after 16 strokes.
Yes. One time I was in New York, and in the early 80s, and I was coming home from a night at the Baz.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking down 3rd Street, and I hear that they're filming a movie, which is not uncommon, and I hear this voice all the way from across the street, and I turn, and sure enough, it's Betty Davis doing that Last Christmas movie that she did.
Oh, you're kidding.
And it was just like, oh my God, I've gotten to see her in the flesh. And people were talking, and you couldn't hear anybody else but her all the way across the street. And I was just like, oh boy.
And wasn't she, wasn't her very last film like wasn't that thing with Vincent Price and Lillian Gish?
I don't know about that. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Whales of August,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard Jimmy Somerville's, the song that he does in Orlando?
Yes.
That is a wonderful
song,
too.
That is a wonderful song, too.
Neither a woman nor a man. I am coming.
Yes.
Yes. Brilliant.
So
we played that a lot on Esoteric Adventures.
Yeah, yeah.
When that show was on the air.
Sorry.
And it really showcases his falsetto.
Oh, brilliant.
It's just crystal clear.
It's such a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love when she turns into a man, mm-hmm. or turns into a woman and looks in the mirror and goes...
Oh.
Different body, same person, no difference.
That's right.
Or whatever she says.
So I hear we're supposed to make some kind of, like,
well, yeah. Thing.
Well, absolutely.
In the coming year, Merlin and I are going to co-host a show. It's going to be... Jimmy and I started talking about doing a little gay art and poetry history, and in the sense of there are a lot of gay heritage, and there's political gay heritage and all sorts of gay heritage, but there's also our cutting edge thing in the arts for so long, which is maybe in a little danger of getting lost. So I thought to remind some of the younger people of the wonderful treasures that are out there to be enjoyed, like Jean Cocteau and Frank O'Hara and different people like that, spotlight a little bit of that. And then we're going to have a poetry round table. And rather than the same old boring thing of somebody getting up and reading their poems and, you know, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom now or whatever, while this is going on, we're going to read them round robin. And this happened a couple of weeks ago by accident, and it stimulates conversation and makes it a lot more interesting and bounce off each other.
And occasionally we'll have somebody, you know, we'll try to have somebody who does their own stuff.
Right.
On their own, and you know, it's going to be fun because
figure out what works,
but we, and also just the idea that, you know, getting the art still out there, because mm-hmm. you know, people have this, you know, there's still a lot of people who have this idea of poetry. It's like, yeah, they, mm-hmm. you know, oh great, poetry, I'll go to the
the little
boys, and there's, and let me tell you, there are so many different ways to deliver poetry.
Right.
There are so many different, and we know, and between us, we know so many different people who have 1,000 different varieties.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
one of the reasons the arts tradition is important too is that there's a case to be made that the artists were the people that were first out. They were out.
Yeah.
Before there was an out, you know. So we're going to explore some different things with that.
Mm-hmm. And I think there are those who make their political statement by speaking, by just speaking directly, getting out there and raising hell. There are others who get out there and they do it through music. Mm-hmm. They do it through their poetry.
Or there could be a poem that is not directly political, but in terms of the content and what it says, it's enormously political.
You know, I mean,
this new show just going to be poetry?
It's going to be the third Friday, Saturday morning, and around 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how long we'll have, but you know, we'll see.
It's
after Black and Black.
And I was thinking, and it occurs to me that. You know, you can express a sentiment without just saying, you know, this is what I'm, and this is my speech on what this means to me and all this. I mean, I was watching the X-Men movies earlier this evening, and, you know, in that, as no matter what people think of fantasy and, you know, those and sci-fi movies, you have these people expressing this feeling of being treated differently because they are mutants, because they are different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those of us who do poetry, for those of us in the queer community who do, and when I say queer, I am speaking to everybody under the alphabet.
Yeah.
That we,
friends and family.
I can't stand that alphabet nonsense. Mm-hmm. I just call everybody queer, no matter what their particular height, where they hang their, you know,
whatever
orientation. It's the idea that we are able to express how we feel about ourselves, too, in that and say, look, we are... This is who we are, and maybe, you know, we've tried these other ways. Maybe you'll understand it this way, too.
Sure.
And we express that through our
The reason why I was asking is because I know that in the gay community, in the gay arts, okay, there has been an awful lot, you know, done in paintings.
Sure.
And in... various other in writing and things like that.
Well, the arts have been our religion in some sense. That's a lot of what kept people going through the years was an affinity for the arts.
It was the it was for all intents and purposes, and you can pick your art, fashion,
dance,
right. Art,
hairdressing,
and hairdresser. It was that place where we were. We were seen.
He's so creative.
Exactly. And you know, over the last several years, I have heard through words, and what people don't understand, you know, that old saying of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt
That's
me.
Such a lie.
It's bull. Yeah. Words can hurt. Right. Words can heal.
Right. Well,
words, and it's through those words that we you know, vent all of that energy.
Well, you know what I think?
We can go to war and kill people.
Right. And I think there's also the thing that, you know, you were talking about all the whole alphabet, everybody's gay. Well, you know, like Kurt Cobain, everybody's gay. but anyway, the whole idea that it all comes down to human experience, like with AA and different situations, and they talk about, well, the alcoholic this, or the gay person that, or the black person that, or the Hispanic whatever. Well, to me, sometimes I go, well, isn't that the human experience? And I think sometimes if you hear someone... just relate human emotions, human experience in a really way that gets across, then you know, whoa, I'm not that different from that person. We do share this human experience when it comes down to, you know, push comes to shove, the bottom line, whatever. So I think that that's part of a good part of poetry.
And you know, David, what you're saying there, David, I think really is so right on as to, you know, what we do here on After Hours and with the different segments and what you'll be doing.
It's part of
the human experience that we explore and try to understand.
Yeah, I think the gay life without any art would be really
There would be no art without gays.
The long and the short of this whole thing is this. We gonna be doing a segment.
So get ready.
There's gonna be lots of words.
Yeah.
There's gonna be lots of expressions.
Who knows
of
what?
Ideas,
who knows what?
Who knows
By too
what?
Sensitive people.
So tune
He's
in.
He's sensitive.
Maybe not. There's some ranters.
He's sensitive.
Well, we never recall gay.
Roy woke up.
We have slam poetry too. That
whatever
is not what
time to go.
Whatever it will be next year because this year is over.
This year is over. Happy New Year.
Hopefully, as I put in one newsletter, hopefully for everyone, 2006 is a drier and prosperous year for
us
all.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So happy holidays.
Love to everybody.
Play
Do we have
safe.
The sing Auld Lang Syne?
Much love.
No.
No.
No. No. No.
Remember, no matter what type of firecracker you have in your hand this weekend, make it safe.
Yay.
Make it fun, because you want that hand for later.
Yeah.
A helping hand.
Hi, I'm Andrea Hall.
I'm Sean Dulles.
Hi, this is Arlene Chang.
Edgar Toledo, production coordinator.
Hi, I'm Christopher Sprinkle.
Mariana Berkovich, business manager.
Hi, this is Mark Torres, operations director and senior producer.
And I'm Brian DeShazer. On behalf of the entire Pacifica family, and especially the Pacifica Radio Archive staff and volunteers, we wish to thank the listeners who contributed the nearly $127,000 during the Archive's fourth annual National Marathon Fund Drive broadcast, held Tuesday, December 6th, 2005. Funds will help preserve the historic recordings housed in our collection and allow new generations to hear the voices of visionaries such as Rosa Parks, Alan Watts, Fannie Lou Hamer, John Hope Franklin, John Lennon, Malcolm X, and many others. We still have work to do to reach our $180,000 goal. $53,000 is needed to maintain and preserve the collection. Your support will help pay for tapes to be transferred off reel-to-reel tape to digital format.
And the best way to keep away from arguments and differences, as I said earlier, put your religion at home, in the closet. Keep it between you and your God.
With your donations, we will be able to purchase much-needed digitization and duplication equipment, repair and maintain older equipment. So call with your pledge of support to the Pacifica Radio Archives by calling 1-800-735-0230. That's 1-800-735-0230. Or visit our website at supportpra.org. That's supportpra.org. I'm Brian DeShazer for the Pacifica Radio Archives.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.